you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Happy weekend, everybody. And you know, there's nothing that makes my weekend happier than spending some quality time creating some serious smoke and then using it to cook a cow or a pig or a chicken or today a cut of lamb. But more on that in a few minutes. First off, let's get you started by reminding you how to get in touch with us here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Communication is our business in radio, but sadly many times it's the worst thing we do in this business. So we've tried to make it as easy as possible to find us. We have a beautiful website we want you to visit, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. But the best way to share your thoughts about the show is to send us a private message on our Facebook page, which is also titled The Outdoor Cooking Show. And you'll find lots of cool cooking stuff on both of those sites. And we heartily invite you to give us your comments, good and bad. As a matter of fact, here's one. We loved your show on hamburgers, and we thought your comments about buns were hilarious. Did you ever figure out how to keep the juice of the tomato from soaking down into the bottom of the bun? Well, of course I did. You must not have listened to the rest of the show, because one of our guests, Ricky Craig, the Hubcap Grill, he gave us a great tip to keep that from happening. He said they toast both sides of the bun, and the juices from anything, tomatoes, pickles, jalapenos, even the meat, will be much less likely to soak the bottom bun. I've tried that before, but I don't think I toasted the bun quite enough. So I'm going to try it again the next time I grill Pop Burgers, and I'll let you know how it works out. Oh, and here's another one. It was actually from last week. I almost missed it. That singer you talked to about ribeye steak sounded like he knows how to party. What's the name of that band again? Yeah, that was Duke Ryan. He's the lead singer of the Drugstore Gypsies. They recorded their latest album here at Edgewater Studios, where we also produce the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, by the way. Duke is a colorful personality, to say the least. You should hear the things I left on the cutting room floor. And not only did they record their album here, we also built their website, or at least my daughter Skylar built their website. She's our graphic and web designer here at Edgewater Studios. So check them out, thedrugstoregypsies.com. And if you'd like to see them in person, they just happen to be playing a gig tonight at the Pub Fountains right here in Sugarland. But I'll warn you, be ready to have a loud rock and roll good time. And be sure you say hello to the boys from all of us here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Oh, and again, send us all your questions and your comments and a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, and we'll do our best to answer. Now, this week's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show was inspired by a last-second comment from my old radio buddy from our days as Hudson and Harrigan, Fred Olson. If you're new to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, give me just a minute and I'll catch you up. Fred played the role of Mac Hudson, I was Irv Harrigan, on the longest continuously running early morning radio show in Houston history, the Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, Fred lives on a ranch, miles from civilization, so he and his wife Bev cook at home, oh, I don't know, about 98% of the time. So they've always got cool new techniques and recipes to share with us, and Fred and I always have fun reminiscing about our days on the radio. As a matter of fact, you can read all about it, as they used to say back in the days when people actually still read newspapers, because I wrote a book about the Hudson and Harrigan phenomenon, and I don't mean just when Fred and I were in the title roles, but dating all the way back to the beginning of the show in 1967. The title is Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a bunch of other publishing sites. Plus, I also made an audiobook out of it, and that's available on Audible and iTunes, for starters. At any rate, the subject for today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show came up completely by chance at the end of last week's segment with Fred. He just mentioned that he had a great recipe for lamb, so I made the offhand comment, okay, that's what we'll talk about next time. Then after we got off the air, I realized I'd kind of locked myself into doing an entire show on cooking lamb. So I got a little worried until I Googled how to cook lamb. Wow. I got over 36 million hits in less than 1 second. And no, I am not kidding. Now, before we go any further, total transparency. My wife, Cindy, shudders in disgust at the mere mention of lamb. So I have never grilled lamb. Ever. Not even once. So I ask her why. Why did she hate the thought of lamb so much? And you know, she really couldn't explain it satisfactorily. I ask her if it was the thought of eating an adorable baby sheep, and she said no. I ask her if it was the amount of fat in the cut of the lamb meat, which is a big deal to her. And she admitted she didn't even know whether lamb had a lot of fat or not. So again, no. Then I ask her if it was the strong taste of lamb, and she paused before she said, yeah, I guess that's it, but I haven't eaten lamb in decades, if at all, so I'm not even sure about that. Bottom line, she just doesn't like lamb, and she's not at all sure why. And candidly, I think a lot of Americans are the same way. Lamb is considered a delicacy, even a staple in the Mediterranean, and as far away as Australia even. But here in America, lamb is often an afterthought. You won't even find it on menus outside of a Mediterranean grill or some kind of specialty restaurant. And come on, admit it. When's the last time you saw it in a butcher shop or the meat department of your favorite grocery store? So, in order to speak on the subject of cooking lamb semi-intelligently, which is just about the only way I speak in the first place, I figured I needed to do some research. And that's when I got those 36 million hits in less than 1 second on Google. As an aside, boy, how would you like to be the guy whose post is buried on page 35,999,999? There's a guy who needs some help with search engine optimization. Which, by the way, we can provide for your website right here at Edgewater Studios. But that's another topic for another day. Sorry to detour into the weeds, but I do have to occasionally get in on a plug for my day job. Find out more at edgewatermultimedia.com. That's edgewatermultimedia.com. Anyway, one of the first recipes that came up for lamb chops was from a fairly well-known website for grilling, and I immediately ran into a conundrum. The recipe said to salt the lamb on both sides and let it sit for 40 minutes at room temperature. Now, pretty much everybody agrees on the room temperature part. That allows the meat to loosen up and cook more evenly through and through. But the salt part, that's open to debate. Some people claim that salt draws out the flavor of the meat. But then there are others like, Nick Castleberg, the executive chef at the George Ranch Historical Park. You remember him? Now, Nick claims that salt just dries out the meat. And just about everybody I've talked to about lamb warns that lamb can be chewy if it's overcooked, so putting anything on it that dries it out seems a little counterproductive to me. But what the heck do I know? I haven't grilled lamb since Moses, and I don't mean Malone. But anyway, the recipe went on to say that you should use some kind of oil. Extra virgin olive oil is what we use at my house. And then offset the lamb chops on the cool side of your grill. It even said to cover the lamb chops with an aluminum pan of some kind and let them slow cook until your meat thermometer registers 110 degrees for rare, 120 for medium rare. Then you move the lamb chops over to the hot side of the grill and sear them until they're browned on both sides. Now, that should only take about 2 or 3 minutes. And this time, the meat thermometer should read 120 for rare and 130 for medium rare. Now, this is where my wife, Cindy, draws the line. She does not like any meat that's cooked rare or even medium rare, for that matter. As far as she's concerned, if it's red, it's not dead, and she ain't gonna put it in her mouth. Come to think of it, maybe that's why she doesn't like lamb. Because virtually every expert agrees on this. If you overcook lamb, it's going to be tougher than a pair of woodpecker lips. And in the final analysis, we've only talked about lamb chops. There's lamb roast, lamb steak, ground lamb, leg of lamb. And I'm sure there's at least a couple of that adorable little baby sheep's body parts that I've left out. So let's talk lamb today, all thanks to one flippant remark by my old radio buddy Fred at the end of last week's show. Thanks a lot, Fred. And as payback, you get the last word, whether you want it or not.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In one three-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious, true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're sure happy to welcome back a familiar voice. It's Jess Pryles, the Hardcore Carnivore. Hi, Jess. How are you?
Hi, thank you. It's lovely to speak to you again.
Jess is originally Australian. So start out, Jess, by telling us, how did you go from Australia to America?
I had visited America. I'd come here on vacation many times, and I had visited Austin for the first time and sort of fell in love with Texas and kept coming back and kept eating the barbecue until I decided that I should probably just move. And that's sort of the very simple version of how it all happened.
Well, the old phrase, throw another shrimp on the Barbie, is a little overworked, in my opinion. But it does demonstrate that Australians love to grill outdoors just as much as Americans. So we assume that you had no trouble assimilating, at least from a culinary standpoint, right?
Yes. I will say, though, that I don't mean to shatter any dreams, but we actually call them prawns in Australia. So that entire line of throwing a shrimp on the Barbie was developed for American audiences.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, but grilling is a big deal in Australia. How are the grilling habits of the two countries similar?
Well, unfortunately, we call grilling barbecue in Australia. So when they say throw another shrimp on the Barbie, as you've identified, that's a grill. It's still synonymous in terms of a bunch of mates standing around a grill, probably with a tin of alcoholic beverages in their hand or a can.
No.
And I think that there's a lot of similarities in that respect.
So how are they different?
With all due respect to the Australians, and low and slow and barbecue in the traditional sense is starting to become more popular there, I have noticed that there's more acumen with the cooks here, the backyard cooks, in terms of the degree of difficulty of the recipes and the understanding of cuts seems a little bit more advanced over here.
I must admit, it really irritates me when people up north say, let's have a barbecue with hamburgers and hot dogs. And I say, no, that's not barbecue.
Absolutely. I mean, we have two different phrases and we have two different words. So why not use them appropriately?
Agreed. Next, your nickname, Hardcore Carnivore. Where'd that come from?
You know, everyone loves a little snappy nickname. It started at the same time as I launched my seasoning rub of the same name.
Ah.
And I just started to talk about meat so much. And really, to the point, I think there's one fish recipe on my website, and that's it. It sort of, you know, wasn't just funny and rhyming, but it was quite appropriate as well.
Well, on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, we love to cook fish, so I'll talk to you another time about that. I did also want to ask you, your followers also gave you the title, the female Ron Swanson. What does that mean?
He is very known for being a big steak and whiskey lover, and I think that we share that in common, and I believe that one of his most famous lines was regarding his turf and turf, which I'm pretty sure was a strip steak with a porterhouse on top, or vice versa. Which to me seems very hardcore carnivore.
Jess has spent years educating herself about meat, but now she teaches her own classes. So tell us about that, Jess.
Well, yeah, I'm lucky enough to teach classes, and they're a combination of things. Sometimes it's just a straight cooking class where people are interested in coming and learning new recipes. And other times it takes on a more educational aspect. We did a beef workshop with Texas Beef Council where all of the students got to know a little bit more about the grading system and beef muscle and tenderness and all of these things that ultimately make you a more informed consumer, which helps with your cooking. You know, meat starts off with how good it is when you buy it. And the more you know when you buy it, the better it is. So, yeah, I should be doing a whole lot more classes here in Austin coming up, but it's a pleasure to be able to interact with people face-to-face when usually so much of my stuff is online.
And I'm sure Jess could tell you all about that on her website. And surprise, she's got some really cool stuff on there, like how to reverse sear a steak, how to make your own knife roll, how to make bacon roses. Check it all out at jesspryles.com. That's JessPryles. But we want to talk about how much Australians love lamb.
It's practically like we're born with a lamb cutlet in our mouths. We do have more sheep per capita than even New Zealand.
Wow.
The most classic roast is a lamb leg roast on a Sunday. That was the ubiquitous family meal, just like turkey for Thanksgiving in America. So the most traditional, I would say, would be roast leg of lamb and then followed by lamb cutlets, or some people call them lamb chops.
So we did a quick search on your website, Jess, and we immediately found three different lamb dishes. Mm-hmm. The first was Aussie Vegemite Glazed Lamb Rack. Start there and explain how you do that.
If you're not familiar with Vegemite, it is a very salty, concentrated bread that we usually eat for breakfast, so it freaks a few people out. But if you treat it like a very umami, salty, kind of beef bouillon-y type of ingredient, and you use it in a glaze, it enhances your meat. And of course, a rack is, it's actually the same as what a prime rib in beef is. It's the same loin with the same rib chops or rib bones attached. And then you can cook the rack whole, and once you cut it up, you get those beautiful lamb cutlets that you see in pictures where the bone has been scraped of all meat and is lovely and clean.
And the next item was garlic and rosemary grilled lamb ribs. Give us that recipe.
That one is one that I do love. Lamb ribs are so forgiving because there's so much fat in there, so it's really difficult to dry out. You just have to be a little bit careful if you are planning on grilling that there may be some flare-ups, but it's also great practice at managing your fire and managing your coals. And those ones are marinated for a couple of hours before they hit the grill, which just helps those flavors intensify. And again, it's a grill management system because of the level of fat. So I like to start them over indirect heat sometimes as well, and then finish them directly to really boost that color and give them a big pop of flavor at the end.
That's kind of like that reverse sear you were talking about, right?
Absolutely. One and the same.
And then we saw a section that's a little bit more in line with the techniques we like to discuss right here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. It's a tutorial on how to smoke lamb shoulder.
So that one's an interesting one, and I understand that the American palate isn't as used to eating lamb as the Australian one, but really, something like a lamb shoulder is completely built for the smoker. It has the right amount of fats, it needs to be cooked down until tender, so you really treat it just like a pork butt. You can get it bone-in or boneless. It has that scapula or the bone that looks like a Concorde jet. And I enjoy using oregano and rosemary in the rub. They're both complementary flavors to lamb, but more so, they have a very sort of Greek style. Melbourne, fun fact, has the biggest population of Greek people outside of Athens.
Wow.
So we also had a lot of Greek influence in our lamb cookery. But an interesting rub can go on the whole shoulder. That goes in the smoker anywhere between 225 and 275, depending, of course, on how you prefer to run your smoker. And then you're going to want to cook it exactly the same as a pork butt until it has no resistance at all.
And that's the biggest complaint about lamb, isn't it? It's a strong taste, the gamey taste. How do you mitigate those objections?
You know, American lamb is much less gamey than some of the imported ones just because of genetics. They've tried to go with flocks that aren't as gamey.
Uh-huh.
But the reality is lamb tastes like lamb because it tastes like lamb. So if you either like the taste of lamb or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're a venison fan, you should be pretty comfortable getting into lamb as well.
Well, what's the biggest mistake that most backyard chefs make when they grill or they smoke lamb at home?
The biggest mistake that backyarders can make is that you either have to absolutely cook the heck out of lamb. You really have to get it until it's fall apart tender. Otherwise, it'll be an unpleasant, tough experience. But conversely, if you're dealing with one of the cuts, like a backstrap, like a cutlet, like a loin, you're going to want to make sure that that is absolutely pink in the middle. If you're a person who likes their steak well done, don't even bother with lamb. It reacts the same as venison in that if you get it past the point of medium rare, it's not going to be a pleasant textural experience. It's just going to be tough.
We always enjoy talking to the hardcore carnivore, Jess Pryles. She has so many accolades we can't list them all, but they're all on her website, which is also jam-packed with a whole lot of great content. Jess, give us that website one more time.
It is jesspryles.com, JessPryles.
Thanks for your time, your insights into lamb especially, and we want you to come back when you publish that new cookbook next year, okay?
Absolutely. Happy cooking, everybody.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious, true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Our guest now is Chef Harold Wong of South Bank Seafood Bar. Hi, Harold.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing good. Let's begin by having you give us your personal background. Where were you born? Where'd you go to school? That kind of thing.
All right, so I'm born right here in Houston, Texas. I'm from southwest part of town in Alief. I graduated from Elsick High School.
So how in the world did you get started in the restaurant business?
Funny story. So I was almost literally born into the business. My family's always been in the restaurant business. shortly after high school, my dad had basically given me an ultimatum. If I don't get a actual career, he's going to throw me in the kitchen with him. Now, during high school, I went back to Taiwan. My family's originally from Taiwan. I went back to Taiwan for a little summer break, and I used to hang out at my uncle's restaurant. He had a sushi restaurant over there. Me being a young teen, I was always hanging out over there. Honestly, I was just talking to the girls.
Nah.
Caught my uncle on a bad day. Started yelling at me, telling me, go clean this, go do that, go do this. And for the rest of my trip, that's what I was doing. I was doing the grunt work, which is a very traditional way of getting into the business. And so it clicked in my head, you know, to do sushi. Because you can't see me over the phone, but I'm a big boy. The kitchen at my dad's restaurant is very hot. And I was like, you know what? I have this passion to cook. What can I do with that? I'm outside in AC, and it just clicked in my head. Everything just made sense to do sushi because I'm outside with the nice AC.
Well, this time of year, we'll convince you to seek out air conditioning, won't it, Harold?
Yeah, especially in Houston.
We understand, though, that your first big break was as an executive chef in a sushi restaurant, but then you went to work for a James Beard Award-winning chef. Tell us about that experience.
I was actually with the Azuma Group. Back then, it was just the one restaurant they had on Kirby. Real mom-and-pop setup. And I was with them for 10 years. I helped build their mom-and-pop restaurant into the biggest Japanese concept restaurant group in town.
Wow.
I was the exec for them for around 4 years. And I just wanted to keep growing and learning. And when I found out that Uchi was coming in town, I actually staged in Austin at both Uchi and Uchiko. And got the job and was part of the opening team here in Houston. It was a great experience. Over there, what they're doing is they're probably top 10 or top 5 restaurant in the U.S., not only counting sushi, Japanese concept, but just in general restaurant. You know, they have a very, very well-organized, well-oiled machine over there.
So how did you go to work for South Bank Seafood Bar? Talk about the different kind of menu items patrons can find there, and tell us about the place in general.
Okay, so after I left Uchi, I applied at The Fish Sushi in Midtown.
Right.
After about 4 months as exec chef, I became corporate chef for the whole company. And we basically changed our concept here. Before, it used to be Refinery Burger and Whiskey. We changed it over to South Bank Seafood. Now, the burgers we had was some of the best burgers in town. I mean, hands down, and that wasn't even my menu. You know, it was before me. But the burgers were so huge. You know, you get one burger and a beer, and, you know, like even for me, like I told you, I'm a big boy. I'm tapped out, you know. So we wanted to, you know, do something where it's lighter, to make it a destination bar. So, of course, seafood, you know, it's light, it's acidic, it's spicy, it goes great with drinks. And we did this whole patio. We converted the parking lot into a patio. And we also have a container, like one of those big rig trucks. We converted one of them containers into a bar. So that's actually the bar that serves the whole patio.
Wow. And it's dog friendly too, right?
Yes, definitely. We're right here on the outskirts of downtown and Midtown. So there's a lot of residentials in the area. People have pets, you know, dogs, cats. Bring them by. We have plenty of room.
However, a lot of our listeners are going to wonder why we're talking to an executive chef from a seafood restaurant on a show that's focused on lamb. But Chef Harold assures us he's got some cool recipes for preparing lamb. So fill us in, Harold. Go ahead.
Yeah, so with our company, we have 5 locations. Bovine and Barley, The Fish, South Bank Seafood, before it was Refinery, and Rose Gold. So they're all different concepts, and I help execute and create the menus at each location. I really broaden my cuisine skill set from just seafood sushi, and it's been very fun. It's been very interesting.
So fill us in on one of those lamb recipes, Harold.
Honestly, if you want to do something just straight, simple, and good, then just keep it just like what I said. Just salt, pepper, and mint. So what I do is I just drizzle a little olive oil with some nicely chopped up mint and just rub it all over it, all right, with a light sprinkle of salt, very light, all right? I like to let that rest and sit for overnight in the fridge, wrapped up. The next day, season again with salt and pepper, and have your oven preheated at 450. Pop it in for about 15 minutes, and that comes out to be about medium rare. If you want yours a little cooked longer, 20 minutes at the max.
So give us another recipe for lamb, Harold.
Okay. So my preference on the cut would be a rack of lambs. Usually you could get them already cleaned, but if you get them whole and you need to clean them yourselves, just make sure when you clean off the meat between the bones that you use your knife, preferably a petty or a smaller chef's knife, to really scrape off all the meat that's on the bones. Because as you're cooking it in the oven, they were brown and char, and it just doesn't look appealing. When it's nice and clean, they come out nice and white-looking. What I like to do is I like to chop up some rosemary and garlic, and I use a breadcrumb called a panko, which is a Japanese breadcrumb, with a little bit of drizzle of olive oil to just get it a nice moist texture, and sear it over the hot pan for 1 to 2 minutes on each side. And then what I like to do is I like to glaze the rack with a Creole mustard. The Creole mustard, if people are not familiar, is a mustard but with a little bit more ingredients. But what I like about it is because it has mustard seeds in it, and as you're cooking that off, it gives it a nice aromatics to it. And then so you just glaze a little bit on, probably about 1 tablespoon, you know, just a little bit. So then you could put your mix of the breadcrumb and it sticks on it. And then you just basically coat the whole thing with the breadcrumb mix. Put it in your preset oven at 450 for 15 minutes. And it comes out nice, perfect, medium rare. And, you know, you just use your chef's knife, cut it in between each bone, and you have a beautiful rack of lamb.
Now, we do understand that lamb is best served either rare or medium rare. Why is that the case?
Because I guess lamb is gamey, right? Everybody, you know, kind of understands that. So when you cook it off longer, the fat content in it enhances the flavor. And that sounds good, but sometimes it makes it stronger. And also, lamb, it gets tougher.
So what are the biggest mistakes backyard chefs make when they try to grill lamb?
Well, probably trying to flip it too much because, like you said, you know, it's best served rare to medium rare. When they flip it too much, you're breaking the protein cells inside. And also, every time you move it, you're actually squeezing out the moisture. So then it becomes more dry.
The Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show especially enjoys special insider tips and tricks from guys like you, executive chefs, or in your case, a corporate chef. So what's your best advice on grilling or cooking lamb products?
What I would recommend is after you season it, sear it on a hot pan, about a minute to a maximum of 2 minutes on each side to get that nice brown color. And then I would just, you know, have my preset oven, pop it in the oven, and just let the oven do the job.
This has been Chef Harold Wong of South Bank Seafood Bar. It's at 702 Dallas Street. It's right at the corner of Crosby and West Dallas in Midtown. What's your website, Harold?
SouthBankSeafood.com.
We know you're busy. You had a last-minute catering job pop up. Thanks for your time. Let's talk again soon, Harold.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd's Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
We have arrived at that portion of the show that I personally enjoy the most, and that's visiting with my old Hudson and Harrigan partner, Fred Olson. What's up, buddy? Jim Bob.
Moving out here in the country.
Yeah. If there's one central truth in comedy, it's that you can't manufacture chemistry. But in our case, that was really never a problem, was it?
No, actually, it wasn't. And from the moment we got behind the mic together, I remember the first day you and I did our first show together, and Dickie Rosenfeld came upstairs and kissed us each on the forehead.
Yes, of course he had to stand on his tiptoes.
Yeah, he had to get a box to do it, but he did. He go, hey, Pada, hey, yeah, great. And
from then on, the rest was history.
So. Yeah, it sure was. And I've already done one pretty serious plug for my book earlier in the show, but hey, it's my show. I can do another one if I want to, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I will tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I learned stuff. I thought I knew. I didn't know a lot of stuff in there. It made me really proud of the years we had together and how much fun we had, and that's all. The only thing I miss about radio is that fun.
Well, I remember, and I wrote in the book, that we shared a lot of laughs together, even when we met in Dallas over 40 years ago, before Hudson and Harrigan.
Yeah.
And we used to trade one-liners back and forth for you to use on that character voice you did in Dallas. Remember the Maharishi Mahesh Feeling Me Boni Belly?
The Maharishi Mahesh Feeling Me Boni Belly.
You know, I used to go to North Park, and I go through the card department and find these incredibly funny lines. Write them down, and I go use them on the air. That's why, okay. There was one for the Maharishi. Goes, let's see.
If it takes a day and a half to lay an egg and a half, how long does it take a grasshopper to kick all the seeds out of a deer pickle?
What?
That was, I know, exactly. I thought, well, what?
Playing a sitar, yeah.
Yeah, doing all my ears. Hey, we'd want to get in trouble here.
Oh, my goodness. And, of course, all of that was a forerunner for the characters that we then utilized a few years later here in Houston on the H&H Show. And if you listen to Hudson and Harrigan, you know that Fred and I love football.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, the only good thing about really hot summer weather, it means football season is just around the corner. So how you think the Texans are going to do this year, my friend?
You know, I'm thinking 9-7 if we're lucky.
Really?
And I say that because of the quarterback situation. It's such a mess. But you know what? I'm interested in watching Cleveland this year. Just because of the Brock Osweiler thing. I'm a Myles Garrett fan. I'm interested in seeing if Dak Prescott can have a great sophomore season. There's so much more going on in football now that's just really a hoot. And are the Jets really tanking? It's just going to be a lot of fun this year. What's going to happen to the Niners? And is Kirk Cousins playing under the franchise tag in D.C. just so next year he can scoot and play for John Lynch with the Niners?
Yeah.
There's just a lot of drama going on.
Hard Knocks can't get here soon enough.
But as far as the Texans, our defense, I mean, second to none. It's even the backfield, I mean, they're okay. But with J.J. Watt back and Merciless and Jadeveon Clowney and guys like Bernardrick McKinney coming on, I mean, the guy's going to have to get rid of the ball real quick with these guys up front. So that bodes well for our backfield. That's one reason A.J. Bouye was also so doggone good.
Yep.
Quarterback was always under pressure, so I just think it's going to be phenomenal to watch.
And as long as we're talking sports, what do you think of Les Alexander selling the Rockets?
You know, I was listening to the radio, and they were calling for a press conference, and I thought, oh, the Carmelo Anthony announcement. And then that came up, and I went, wow. But you look at what he paid for it.
Yeah.
$85 million. Now it's worth $1.6 billion.
Holy smoke.
That's a heck of a businessman.
Who do you think will buy him?
I hope a local consortium does, or somebody who's got more money than sense. No, I shouldn't say that. Somebody who has a lot of money and sense, because we've had those kind of owners before. And they just keep it going because, wow, they were putting together quite a team.
Well, at least we can sleep easy tonight knowing it won't be Bud Adams.
Boy, that brings back a lot of memories.
Okay, let's go on to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. And our topic today was inspired by you.
Really?
You, at the end of the show last week, mentioned you had something good to share with us about lamb. So, we've built the whole show around lamb. What you got?
Nice. Well, I make 1% of the food around here, and what I make is pretty darn good, according to my wife. But one of the things I do is lamb. And a little thing you may not know about lamb, a sheep under the age of 1 year is lamb.
Ah.
Sheep over the age of 1 year is known as hogget. They don't really call it that much in the U.S., but that's like UK and Australia. And a lamb that's like anything over two to three years is known as mutton. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
I've got a buddy out here who's in the cattle business, and I asked him if he liked lamb. He goes, hate it, because I had to eat mutton all the time when I was a kid. I'd eat old lamb that tasted terrible. So I can't get him to even try my recipe, but I'll tell you what it is. It's a rack of lamb.
Okay.
And can I mention a store name?
Sure.
Okay, well, I'll just give the initials, Costco. And they have generally a case of New Zealand lamb, and it'll be a rack of about like 7 to 8 ribs in it. And what I do is I take off any excess fat, even though I love the fat. And what I'll do is I'll put aside some like minced garlic, olive oil, salt and pepper, and breadcrumbs, and Dijon mustard.
Mm-hmm.
So you take that rack of lamb and you salt and pepper it, and with like a teaspoon or so of oil in a skillet, I will brown that lamb all the way around, about a minute or so, till it looks good and browned, right?
Right.
I'll set it aside. I will slather it with Dijon mustard. Not too much, but enough to like cover it all, make it look good. Then I'll add breadcrumbs, there's some olive oil in it, a little bit of salt and pepper, some minced garlic, minced onion, things like that, and I'll make that into a paste, and I'll cover that rack of lamb with that breadcrumb paste.
Right.
Then I'll put it in the oven in that skillet at about 450 for anywhere from 12 to 18 minutes.
Now, you're talking about an iron skillet, right?
I tend to use that around. Bev's got me on the iron skillet kick because it's even heat.
Right.
It distributes heat evenly. And it depends, and I will tell you this, if you've never done it before, try not to overcook it because lamb should be medium at most, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And when you take it off of that and you cut it, I will tell you it is just absolutely delicious. Again, 12 to 18 minutes, wherever you like your doneness. Then on the side, when I was a kid, I loved mint jelly with lamb. But what Bev will do is make up kind of a horseradish sauce, a bit of mayonnaise, horseradish, kind of strong, and I will dip that chop. I'll cut those chops up, right?
Ah.
And I'll dip a chop into that and eat it like a popsicle.
What?
It's just great lamb. Or if you want to take one of those racks and just cut off the rib chop itself, simple salt and pepper, put it on a grill, and that's fabulous, too, either with mint jelly or with horseradish sauce.
Well, now, do you sear it or do you offset it?
No. I put it right on the flame, and I watch it like a hawk. I like the fat along on the shank there kind of getting crispy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I just watch it like a hawk with a pair of long tongs, and if it starts to flame up too much, you get an eye for it after a while when it gets kind of shiny and there's a certain consistency to the meat. You just play with it. But trouble is, a rack of lamb is anywhere from 11 to 14 bucks, so you don't want to play with it too much.
Because you mess it up, you've lost a lot of money.
That's why I buy two racks of lamb at a time.
And then there are folks who love ground lamb instead of ground beef.
Yep.
But I'm not sure that I'm ready for a woolly hamburger.
Well, no, but I'll tell you what my mother used to make when I was a kid. It was called a lamb burger. She would buy lamb and hamburger and grind it and put it together. And it was excellent.
So when's the last time you actually cooked lamb, Fred?
The last time, it's probably been a month and a half, because I've got two racks right now sitting in the freezer, ready to go.
How did it turn out?
It was great. I just did the chops.
How often do you have lamb at the house?
I think we probably have lamb probably about six times a year. Every couple of months, we pull that out. And probably more so now that we're talking about it. Because we love it. And the thing is, if you're going to serve a group of people, keep in mind there's eight of those chops. And when you go to a restaurant, I mean, you get about four chops, right? You get it on some kind of potato or polenta thing. And it's like a $30 or $35 dish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's four of them. So if you're going to get a group of people over, you probably want to do at least two racks of it, I would think.
And you were talking about sides. Cindy and I love couscous. We're always looking for an excuse to eat couscous. I saw one recipe for couscous salad with cucumber, red onions, and herbs. But for my money, that just sounds like a great way to screw up a perfectly good bowl of couscous.
That sounds Mediterranean.
Yeah, it's very Mediterranean.
Yeah.
And the Greeks, of course, love lamb.
Oh, yeah.
One side that was mentioned was Greek-style braised green beans. Now, I have to be honest and admit, I want soft green beans. Not mushy, but not crunchy either.
Yeah.
But this recipe called for onion, garlic, white wine, and spicy pepper with lemon. And I would add a pinch of chili pepper just to warm things up.
Yes.
You know, because it's so nippy outside this time of year.
Oh, it is. It is.
And speaking of that, I know you have to go mow something somewhere. So I'll let you go, and we'll talk next week about something else, okay?
Well, just give me a little heads up, and I'll see if I have any in the freezer.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?